This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading today comes from the second book of Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served as Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said was wash and be clean?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." And we continue reading in the second letter to Timothy. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, then we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and warn them before God, that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth." And finally today we read in the Gospel of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. As they went away, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the word of God.
Let us pray. God be with us in this time together of listening and hearing, of speaking, of prayer aloud and prayer in our hearts. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. As I worked on the sermon for this week, I considered the text. I considered the presence of Jesus, the healing of the Samaritan. I also considered this prayer from India. When everything around seems to be collapsing into injustice and chaos, Creator God, teach us to love you and to recognize that you hold the earth gently in your hands. When we do not know what to do and where to turn, teach us to trust your wisdom so that we may discern your presence in events around us. When we become unforgiving and vindictive, teach us to grasp onto your tenderness and forgive us. When violence, fear, and hatred seem to surround us, teach us to receive your compassion and to steer our lives in the way of justice and peace that we may appreciate your goodness. For in you, we have new life. Malala Yousafzai is an amazing person. She is not simply an incredible young woman. She is a young woman who has done more for the world at the age, by the time she was 14, than she will do, many of us will do in a lifetime. She has done so even though she could have been seen as a miracle for simply surviving. She has done so even though the world first sees in her someone who is a young woman from Pakistan who wears a headscarf and forgets to look beyond. Someone so outside of power, outside of the assumed places of power, that she might have been missed, might not have been noticed, except that she has claimed her place, claimed herself, and stood up to power with truth. Truth that when spoken sounds so simple. The truth that everyone, regardless of who they are, their sex, their gender, place of birth, religion, that all children have the right to go to school, that in Pakistan, surrounded by the Taliban, girls should be allowed to have an education. A truth that caused her to be shot. Truth that led her to put her life at risk for a message that was needed, even if some were not ready. The truth that faith is powerful, justice is needed, and love is universal. Malala Yousafzai and her campaign to allow all people the same opportunity, access, and chance at life has been done with such love and such grace that it shows us the power of truth and an incredible faith in humanity. You see, Malala not only believed that all people should have an education, she believed that it was possible, not just the dream, but that the dream could come true. She had faith that her voice, one small voice, could inspire change. And in that, Malala is a more powerful reflection of the call of Jesus than many places that call themselves church in America. She is calling out for change and doing this in the face of unimaginable danger. She is calling out for justice and doing this in the face of incredible opposition. She is calling out for peace in doing so when she would not be faulted if she used that same violence inflicted on her. She is standing on faith, a faith that has not simply healed her, but made her a presence of healing in a broken world. Standing on the faith, she claims an Allah through Muhammad. Standing as an example for us, and as the faith we claim in the Lord through Jesus. Standing in the line of so many who have claimed a part of this miracle of grace. The faith that Jesus tells the Samaritan, the one who returned to say praise God and thank you, has made him well. Faith that we see in our world each day. Faith that is not simply about being healed. Remember, when the Samaritan man returns to say thank you and praise God, Jesus looks to him and asks, where is everyone else? Why is only one of you here to thank God for that which has happened? Why is only one of you living out the miracle of healing? We have all been held by God. All of us, every single person here and listening, has been called by the Spirit. And we can thank God that this is a calling we do not have to live out with a gun to our head. It is not something we do at risk of our lives. But that thanksgiving cannot be all we do. Because we have safety, because we live in a nation that says on paper that all of us have the same rights, we need to step forward. We need to stand up for those who have not found their voice. Those who cannot call out for justice because they have been silenced. Silenced by fear. Silenced by hate. Silenced by bigotry, terror, the isms that fill our world. Silenced before they have learned what words they might speak. Silenced because they fear that no one is listening. Malala Yousafzai could have claimed silence. She could have claimed that no voice, no rights, that she had no ability to speak. She could have lived in her oppression and melted. But something happened. Something beyond any of us. God called, the Spirit moved, and this young woman spoke. She called out that something was wrong, that it needed to be healed. She did not simply say girls should go to school, but that the world needed to be healed, but the world we live in is broken. And with God's help, she would fix it. Like Jesus, she offered a new way, a new message, a gift of hope in a world that may have seemed hopeless. And she comes from outside of the places where power is supposed to be found. She is young. She is female. She is outside of the elite. She is not supposed to have a voice. And she did all of this with full awareness of the risks. The Taliban posted on Facebook what they planned. There was no secret that the Taliban wanted her dead, that they wanted to make her an example, and that they wanted to ensure that she would be the last voice to speak against them. Like Rome, who came against Jesus because of his revolutionary message, the Taliban looked to Malala and saw a threat, a message so simple and yet so transformative that they could not bear to see it continued. The message that God's love knows no barrier. The claim that the rights you give to one, you must give to all. The cry that no one is better, more entitled, more called to the love of God and rights of all than anybody else. The reminder that even Samaritans deserve to be healed. That those of us who have been healed are called to be thankful and to act out of that thanksgiving that others might live. That leads us all to ask, who can we heal? Who can we help? What cause of justice can we speak up for? Now, as a pastor in the pulpit, I cannot tell you how to vote, what causes to follow, and I should not. But I can tell you that there is a young woman in Pakistan who has taught us the importance of being a voice for the voiceless. Malala Yousafzai spoke up. The least we can do is to call out for those in need. The least we can do is follow the biblical reminder that a child shall lead them. My children know who Malala Yousafzai is. They know what she did, and I hope and pray they know they are called to nothing less. We are a congregation called to nothing less, and we have found our voice. We are a congregation proud of its place as a community of firsts. We are a place that strives to welcome everyone, whoever they are, wherever they are on life's journey. But we cannot hold a candle to the actions of a young woman in Pakistan, a child who taught us about love, a follower of Islam who has reminded us what it means to live out the love of Christ. And when she did this, she did it with more than bravery. She did so with a presence and awareness of what it means to work out of God, the spirit of love, and compassion, and hope. You see, when Malala was asked what she thought about, when she learned that the Taliban wanted her dead, when she learned that her life was in danger, she said something amazing. She was honest. She said that she had thought a lot about that moment. And she said her first thought was, and this is a quote, "Malala, you hit them with your shoe." But then she said she decided not to do that. Because if she did, she would be no better than them. She said, "I will tell him. I even want an education for your children. That is what I would do." She knew that what she did, each step she took, each act she carried out was not simply a reaction. She knew that she had to both carry her message and live in her actions in a way that would show another way was possible. Like Jesus on the cross when he cried out, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," Malala Yousafzai decided her reaction would be one that held out the possibility that those after her, those trying to kill her, could be redeemed. That even the Samaritan could be healed. The love of God is alive and well in the world, and we have been reminded of it in the words, actions, and spirit of a young woman halfway across the world. We will follow her spirit. We will listen to her voice and live out her message. And like Malala Yousafzai, we believe that all can be redeemed, held, loved, and made whole. Malala is a powerful woman of color, a powerful daughter of Pakistan, and a powerful voice for the world. She is a model for my daughter, and a source of inspiration for my son, and a reminder that no one is separated from the love of God. Welcome to the First Congregational United Church of Christ, a community where all may be redeemed, held, and loved, a family of faith where whatever you have done or not done, whoever you are, wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.